Thine is the kingdom is our devotion for tonight. And we have only one thought, a rightful response. We began with the preface, the praise, to preach, the power, the provision, the pardon, the protection, the preservation. And now we conclude with praise or pronouncement as the final thought to guide us in the understanding of the Lord's Prayer as we consider verse 13c. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You notice that the Lord's Prayer begins with praise, and now it also ends with praise. Why do we pronounce praise to God? Or what do we pronounce in our praise? Well, we pronounce the Father's worthiness to receive all praise. You remember, we have just concluded all the petitions that we want to bring before God. All the things that, you know, every earthling would go through that would unsettle his heart, the Lord tells us, bring it to me. I will settle it for you. And so each one of them, you see, is being listed out, and each one of them is given to us as a petition, whereby when we would faithfully commit our lives to God, our decisions, our goings to God, then you'll find that there is a response that you would expect from God, right? What would be that response? Well, we all know that, you know, as we bring our petitions to God, according to His will, according to what He has wanted us to pray, then what would be the result? It is prayers answered, right? We are going to receive the desires of our heart. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And therefore, this last portion, we may call it the doxology. Well, it is an utterance with a sense of great awe for the greatness, the goodness, and the grace of God that is going to be fulfilled in our lives. You know, we do all these things, we pray all this by faith. We haven't had our answers yet, as it were, when we bring our petitions to God. But because we understand who our God is, we understand how He is truly able to help us, how He reigns over all the earth. And therefore, we can rest by this closing doxology, this closing pronouncement, to leave all our prayer with God, that He will answer them in His own good time, in His good will, to the blessing of our hearts. And so this closure of the Lord's Prayer, you may say, is on a high note. It is a triumphant closure. It ought to bring to us a sense of restfulness in our hearts. Wherever we come for prayer meeting, wherever we bring our petitions before God, we do so in faith. We do so with understanding. We know who God is. Right? We understand that He is able to help us. And we constantly need to be reminded that God is able, right? Because we are often consumed by doubt, our own frailty. Right? When Israel was about to enter the Promised Land, God caused them to survey the land. And out of the 12 spies, 10 of them said, "Oh yeah, don't go in, don't go in." But what did God say to them? "Well, I will give you the victory. Go." Right? That is who we are. We are so weak. And therefore this closure, this last statement, is a reminder to us to keep faith, to keep strong, you know, to be of good courage, to not falter, right? To realize that God, by His transcendental power, would give us final, total victory in our lives. Nothing could not be conquered but by the grace of God. And as we bring all this before them, it must bring back to us a rightful response. Right? When we speak about His kingdom, we are speaking about His absolute dominion over all His creation. You know, we often speak about Satan as if, you know, it is such a great foe. But if you were to study the Holy Writ carefully, you will find that Satan is simply an instrument in the hand of God. Right? Satan cannot do anything to us without the permission of God. Right? That is the first book of the Bible, the first chapter, Job. That's what it tells us. Right? Satan had to go before God to seek God's permission before he could test Job. And this final doxology tells us that there is no rivalry with God on our side. He will certainly help us. And He is able to help us. And Satan's world is also under the dominion of God. Right? Satan's world is also under the purview of God. You know, when Israel was in exile, God gave to Israel two prophets, Daniel, and the other prophet was Ezekiel. And, you know, God called Ezekiel in a very marvelous manner. In the first chapter of Ezekiel, you see how, you know, he was given a vision of God in control of the whole universe. Everything moves by His hands. And a good New Testament verse to summarize Ezekiel saw was Romans 8:28. All things work for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Ezekiel is going to be sent to a people who is so hard that they would not hear and hearken to the words of God. And yet, God said to him, you have to go. And God would give you a forehead that is so hard that you would be able to withstand despite all the difficulties and fulfill my will. God wants us to understand and see that He is in total control, and He gives to His prophet the confidence by that heavenly vision that He is in absolute charge, although the situation looks like things are going out of control. Israel is in captivity. How can things be in control when they were under the dominion of the Babylonians? Well, God manifested His power, His glory, to show to Ezekiel that He has no rival. He is the one in charge. He is that invisible God who by His power bring all things to pass. And if you were to look at a glimpse of the worship in heaven in Revelation chapter 5, you'll find a sense of great peace and calmness in the heavenly realm. And then you would also see at the center of the throne the Lamb that was slain, the Christ, with the marks of His crucifixion and His sufferings. That He has gone through it and that He has given you the victory. You know, today we were seeing someone who has plagued with a stroke and bedridden in the hospital. If we are not seeing it from God's perspective, we would become very grieved. We would become very sad. But if we were to see it from God's perspective, then we are able to rest our hearts despite the suffering that we see the person going through. Why? Because we know that there is a God who cares and loves, and His love and His care, you know, is unabated. And He has sent forth His Son to come upon earth to suffer all the cruelties of life and finally win victory. That is the final triumphant picture of the saints in heaven. And God wants us to see that there is a culmination to life. Thine is the kingdom. The kingdom of God reigns and will continue to reign and will reign in a final manner in the time to come. You know, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Right? It gives us the strength to endure. Gives us the strength to, you know, say that, yes, by the grace of God, it is possible. By the grace of God. J.C. Ryle, he says, well, this final doxology, when he wrote, "We declare in these words our belief that the kingdoms of this world are the rightful property of our Father, and that to Him alone belongs all power, and that He alone deserves to receive all glory. And we conclude by offering to Him our hearts, giving Him our all honor and praise, and rejoicing that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We can rest in Him. There is no higher power. And if He's helping us, then we are set, as it were. And now, he says, let us examine ourselves and see whether we really desire to have the things which we are taught to ask for in the Lord's Prayer. Are we running our lives our way? Or was it God's way?" And he made this comment. He says, "Thousands, it may be feared, repeat these words daily as a form, but never consider what they are saying. They care nothing for the glory, the kingdom, and the will of God. There is no sense of dependence, sinfulness, weakness, or danger. May it not be so for us." May we be uttering this Lord's Prayer with a true heart felt response from a filial child. F.B. Meyer, in his book The Gift of Suffering, he observed, he says this, that the rightful response to what God has taught us is a submission to God for who He is. And if we look at the world around us, we see rebellion reaching a climax. Right? We were discussing on Sunday how the world is moving toward a one world economic system, a one world political system, and a one world religious system, a one world church. And this is coming fast to fruition. And as we see all these things happening before us, you see the rebellion of men going back to Babel, building that one last, giving that one last ditch and effort against God. Right? We were discussing how Europe were once the bastion of Protestantism. Right? The Reformation began there. And how today you see it is a spiritual desert. Right? The majority would not hold God and the truth of His word in honor. Then you look at America, the same thing we see. But we are thankful that there is a remnant. And here, we don't have any great heritage. What we have is what we have learned from the missionaries who have come and have given their lives years back to show us this faith. And may we not forget what we have learned, and may we not spurn it, but may we truly take hold of this faith that God has given to us and the power to do all things through His name. And that is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. F.B. Meyer, he said, if you seek your own glory, you will lose that and His. But if you seek His, you will get yours. You will be tempted, but God will be with you. He will do His will through you. Indeed, that is the Christian life. When we begin to surrender our lives to God, and that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Realize that we are not in control, that we need God. Is this how you operate your life? That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. It speaks of absolute dependence of the creature upon the Creator. How we just don't have any strength if God would not give it to us. But if we realize that strength cometh from Him, and if we would acknowledge Him, then you'll find that His strength will flow through us. And that's wonderful, isn't it? You're able to share the truth with somebody, and God would use those words that you would give to transport a person from hell to heaven. Wow, that's power, you know, right? And that is a kind of power that God would use you to do. God would want us to do for His own honor and glory. And isn't it all there is to God's plan? A teacher said, give this is a story, The teacher said, "Boys, here's a watch. What is it for?" The children answered, "To tell the time." "Well," said he, "suppose my watch does not tell the time, what is it good for?" "Good for nothing, sir," he says. Right? He's teaching us, telling us that as child of God, as a Christian, right, God gives to us a mission and we are to fulfill it for him to the honor and glory of his name. Then the teacher said, he took a pencil. "What is it for?" "Well, it is to write, sir. Suppose the pencil won't make a mark, what is it good for?" "Good for nothing, sir." Then the teacher asked, "What is the chief end of man?" And he replied, "To glorify God." "Suppose a man does not glorify God, what is he good for?" "Good for nothing, sir." Truly, as we come for prayer meeting, as we study this Lord's Prayer, it must humble us to realize that we are undone, that we have not sought God as we ought. But there is hope, because he gives to us his words to show us what we ought to do, what we ought to have done. Martin Luther gave his concluding remarks to the Lord's Prayer, answering the question, "What is meant by the word Amen?" He said this: "That I should be certain that these petitions are acceptable to our Father in heaven and are heard by him, for he himself has commanded us so to pray and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen." That is, yea, yea, it shall be so. And God wants us to major in prayer, because that is the beginning of spiritual action. Spiritual action begins with prayer. And then it would bring forth in concrete acts, energized by the Spirit of God. And God wants us to understand how he works. And if we have understood, then you find that it is such a wonderful, blessed life to praise, to preach the power, the provision, the pardon, the protection, the preservation, and finally the pronouncement gives to us the perfect prayer pattern. The conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teaches us to take our encouragement in prayer from God only. That our prayers are directed to God. We ought to shut ourselves so that our communion is with God and God alone. There is that single-minded focus. We know what we are doing. We know who we are communing with. And that relationship is reciprocal. We understand that there is an answer that comes when we petition to God in our soul. The answer is very clear in our hearts, because the Spirit would affirm the will of God in our hearts, giving to us peace and joy. And so, this is the concluding of the Lord's Prayer, that our prayers to praise him, to ascribe kingdom, power, and glory to him, be indeed our desire, and that we would want him to be heard. And that whatever we have petitioned, we know he would hear. And we say, Amen and Amen. His will be done. Meaning, we get to fulfill and live out the desires of our heart in this life. Wonderful, isn't it? Wow. And so, God has given to us the divine blueprint for an energized life. And if we have understood this, then we would take time to ensure that the various elements of the Lord's Prayer is a part of our prayer, is part of our prayer life, and that we are aware of the sequence, the priorities, the needs, the dangers, and that would gives to us a wholesome view to life, or whatever, you know, age we may be in, whatever profession we may be in, whatever circumstances we may be in. You'll find that the Lord has covered it all. So wonderful, isn't it? Yes, all our needs fully thought out. And so as we look at the Lord's Prayer, we cannot but give God total obeisance to realize that He is truly great. He is truly God. And when we do so, you'll find that there comes a great peace in our hearts. And, you know, when we go home, well, the Lord gives to us a peaceful sleep, a peaceful heart. And may He continue to shower us with His peace amidst a chaotic world, a world that is getting more and more chaotic. And yet, you know, amidst the external chaos, inside us, there is a calmness that we have developed, that we are able to handle all things that would come, because He has overcome the world for us. And He says to us, be of good courage, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May the Lord and His presence fill us, that we may be fully assured in our hearts that we are secure in Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for gathering us once again to learn the precepts of prayer that Thou hast personally taught us, that is written and stands written in Thy Word. We are thankful that we can hear Thy very voice speak through Thy Word, and help us, Lord, to abide by it, to the honor and glory of Thy name, and to the blessing and peace in every heart. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.